Great. Thank you so much. I'm very excited that we can come again on this beautiful day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and in it we will rejoice and be glad. Before we start, I want us to pray. I want us to speak to the Lord as we get into the Word this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the preaching of the word. We are so excited that we can come together in your presence and to sit under the ministry of the word. Lord, we declare today that we will not go out the same. I pray, Father, that every person that is listening to this word, they will experience a move of God in their lives right now. Father, we thank you and we honor you today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Great. Let's go straight into the word. I want to start from John 15, verse 1. John chapter 15, verse 1. That is our anchor scripture this morning. This was Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And everyone that bears fruit, he prunes. He prunes it so that it may bring forth more fruit." Verse 3, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Now, I'm excited this morning. I believe God has put a word on my heart. And I want to start off by saying God designed you and I as social human beings. And the truth of the matter is, outside of relationships, human life fades away quickly. In the absence of human contact, your life does not thrive. Now, you'll agree with me that it's not every union or relationship that is worth your while. That is why from time to time, you need to do an assessment of your relationships. You need to ask yourself a number of questions. You need to say to yourself, which of my relationships do I need to terminate? Look at your relationships right now and ask yourself, are all these relationships adding value to me? And if there's one relationship that is not adding value and actually devaluing your life, that relationship has to be cut out. It has to be terminated. That is the first question you need to ask yourself. The second question is, which relationship do I need to nurture? You know very well that this relationship was brought to me by God, and I haven't paid attention to it. You need to come to a place of rebuilding that relationship and nurturing it. And thirdly, you need to ask yourself, which of my relationships do I need to pursue and to reignite? I have some friends that I haven't spoken to in a while, and I feel that I need to reconnect with them because I know they were brought into my life by God for a purpose and for a reason. Now, this morning, I want you to realize that when you are not deliberate with your relationships, you can find your life in a big mess. You can find your life struggling because of the relationships that you haven't been deliberate about. Now, this morning, this brings me to my theme I want to talk to you on. I want to talk to you on a subject matter, intimacy that produces fruit. Intimacy that produces fruit. Very, very important. I want you to realize that the desire of God is for you to be intimate with him, and out of that intimacy, to be able to produce fruit. Now, there is no relationship that can come close to a relationship with Jesus. You can have as great relationship as you want, your relationship with your mom, with your dad, with your girlfriend, with your uncle, with your grandma. None of those relationships can get close to the relationship you should have with Jesus. And yet, for the most part, it is one of those relationships that is not given the attention that it deserves. I want to ask you a question this morning. How are you doing in relation to Jesus? Is Jesus still the center of your life? Is Jesus still the one that consumes you right now? Now, when you are into someone, you open yourself up to them. You see, intimacy is what we call the experience of really knowing someone and being known by someone. When you talk of intimacy between husband and wife, I want you to know outside of that union, there is no other person that knows the wife the same way that the husband knows her. Glory be to God. I'm talking about intimacy that brings fruit, intimacy with Jesus. You see, talking about knowing God, there's only one place that God allows you and I to be boastful of. God doesn't want us to be boastful of what we've acquired in terms of houses, in terms of money, in terms of career growth. There's one place where the Bible allows you and I to be boastful of. You'll find that in Jeremiah 9, verse 24, where the Bible says, "But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord." So my friend, if you are to boast, boast in that you know God. Boast in knowing who God is. Boast in understanding the voice of God. Boast in having an intimate relationship with Jesus. That is a place to boast about. I don't know how many of us are in that place where we can say, you know what? I know the voice of Jesus. I know God. I was with him this morning. He spoke to me this morning. But you know what? We boast about a whole lot of other things that has nothing to do with destiny, nothing to do with eternity. The reason why God is saying you are allowed to boast about knowing him, it is because when you know him, there is a guarantee for eternity. Glory be to God. The eternity you should have is guaranteed. Hallelujah. Now, it is one thing to speak about Jesus, but it is another thing to be consumed by him. It is another thing to be obsessed by Jesus. It's another thing to be so obsessed by Jesus that you could be in a crowd, yet you still say, "I'm in fellowship with Jesus." Hello? You're boasting with this relationship with Jesus that in the middle of the night, he misses to commune with you. He wakes you up and says, "Let's talk." I'm talking about that level of intimacy. Now, I want you to realize that the way you relate with Jesus determines what you will become in life. The closer you walk with Jesus, the more you can become like Jesus. The more you're becoming like Jesus, the more you produce Jesus kind of results. I'm talking about God kind of results in our workplaces. Results that when people look at what you do, they will say, "This has to be God. It cannot be through just a human being's ability." I want you to realize that in our walk with God, it's not so much what we do for him. It's not so much the fruit that we produce. When God looks at you, when God looks at me, what excites him is the fellowship, is the intimacy. It is the intimacy that you have with God that God really craves for. And I want you to realize that everything else that we do should be a byproduct of your intimacy with Jesus. In the absence of being connected with the vine, I want you to know that everything else is futile. It is just works in the flesh. Does somebody hear me this morning? Now, where we've read in John 15, we see Jesus talking to his disciples. You see, these were the last days of Jesus. And Jesus was busy preparing his disciples for the eventuality, for that time that he was going to be away from them physically. And we see Jesus, he was proclaiming who he was. And we all know in the book of John, we find the seven I ams of Jesus. The seven I Ams of Jesus. And this was the last I Am that we come across. So Jesus was traveling, I believe, from Bethany to Gethsemane, where he was going to be betrayed, where he was going to experience the crushing in that place of crushing. And Jesus was walking with his disciples from Bethany, where they had had just the Last Supper. And Jesus had just declared to them that he is the bread of life. He is, you know, he's the new covenant, the blood of the new covenant. And I believe as they were walking down the road, they would see these vines. Vines of different nature. Vines, some that were really big, some that were really small. And the disciples were discussing with Jesus. It's me just painting a picture of that trip from Bethany to Gethsemane. And I could sense Jesus taking an opportunity here saying, I want to bring in a spiritual spin to this conversation of the vine. Now we find Jesus bringing up a spiritual spin to this whole issue of the vine. And Jesus started speaking to his disciples, telling them how he expected them to relate to him. You see, when you're in a marriage, you might be tempted to love your wife the way you want to love her. But your wife wants to be loved the way she wants to be loved. That is the same thing with Jesus. You might want to love Jesus in a certain way, but Jesus wants you to love him in a particular way. You see, you've got to speak the love language of Jesus for you to be able to connect with him at a deeper level. Does somebody hear me this morning? I'm talking about intimacy that produces fruit. So Jesus started telling his disciples how they needed to relate with him. The more we relate with him aright, the more we can become intimate with him. I've seen in my own marriage that the more I love my wife the way she wants to be loved, the more we become more intimate, the more we get more connected. When I spend quality time with her, she feels her laughter gets filled up. And guess what? A lot of other things come out of that. Hallelujah. So I want you to realize that Jesus, the vine, wants to be loved in a certain way. You see, many people are fixated with becoming fruitful. But there are conditions that need to be in place in order for fruitfulness to become a reality. When God looks at you, God is not really pursuing you for what you can do for him. God is pursuing you for relationship. God is pursuing you for intimacy. Glory be to God. And I wish the church could understand this more and more. That it's not what we do here on stage that really matters. It's not what we do here on the pulpit that really matters. It's what happens behind the scenes. It is what happens in that moment of communion and fellowship with Jesus that really, really matters. You see, any form of fruit is preceded by relationship. Any form of conception, the idea of God around conception was meant to happen in the context of relationship, in the context of a marriage, in the context of intimacy. The same thing applies in the spirit. Before we can talk about spiritual gifts, before we can talk about being mightily used by God, God says, I want your heart. When God has your heart, you can have the hand of God. Hallelujah. That is so, so key. So I want us to explore this morning the conditions that will enable you and I to become fruitful. What are those conditions? Now, the first condition that builds intimacy, that builds that solid relationship with Jesus is this. Your perception of Jesus shapes your intimacy. In other words, perception shapes intimacy. The way you view Jesus determines how you relate to him. The way you perceive Jesus determines how open you are to him. You see, in any relationship, if you do not trust somebody, you will not open yourself up to them. I have seen in workplaces where guys feel, you know, my boss, I can't really trust him. And because of that, they don't give themselves fully to the work. They're hesitant to commit all the way. Why? Because there is no trust. This morning, I want to ask you a question. How do you view Jesus? Do you view Jesus as the ultimate? as the one that you should aim for. Glory be to God. You see, as we grow, as we get older, we start putting benchmarks. We start saying, if I can just hit that by 35, if I can just get a double-story house by 40. My question today is, does Jesus feature anywhere on that list? Where you're saying, if I can just be closer to him in the next 6 months, where you determine and you say to yourself, I'm not going to leave until I touch him. Hallelujah. I'm talking about intimacy with Jesus. My question is, what's your perception of Jesus? In John 15 verse 1, he says, his last I am the true vine. I am the true vine. Are you seeing Jesus as the true vine, or you see him as a vine? It is possible for you to position Jesus on the same level as your sister. You position Jesus on the same level as your pastor. You position Jesus on the same level as the president of the country. But when Jesus was speaking to his disciples, he wanted to dispel that notion and for them to know that he is the real deal. He says, I am the true vine. He did not say, I am a true vine. He's saying, besides me, there's no other vine that can supply to all your needs. You see, that word true is used in the sense of real, being genuine. It is what you get when you come to Jesus. You see, a vine yields proper juice and nourishment to all the branches, whether these are large branches or small branches. I want you to know that when you are connected to the true vine, the real, genuine vine, it doesn't matter how big your problem is, the true vine will supply to all your needs. Glory be to God. It reminds me of Paul telling to the Philippian church, and he says, and my God shall supply to all your needs. My God shall supply to all your needs. I want to speak to your family right now, and I want to say to you that my God shall supply to all your needs. Hallelujah. What is the point here? Everything that is required by the branches is found in the true vine. Everything that is required for you to become the best that you are meant to become the best mom, to become the best husband, the best business person, it is found in the vine. You see, Colossians 1 verse 15, talking about Jesus, the true vine. He says here, the Son is the image of the invisible God. The invisible God was made visible through the Son. Do you remember Philip coming to Jesus and says, show us the Father. And Jesus says, have I not been around you? If you see me, you have seen the Father. Glory be to God. So we have all we need in the true vine because he is the image of the invisible God. The firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. I don't know, are you having issues in the night when you are sleeping? I want you to know that the vine is able to give you rest at night. I remember I went on a business trip a couple of weeks ago, and I was at a B&B, and I was given a room, and in that room, you know, I did my normal thing of praying and all of that. I slept. And at 10:40, I experienced a spiritual attack where this demon just came and attacked me in my sleep. I woke up and I started rebuking that thing in the name of Jesus, telling it to leave my room. I was able to declare the authority of Jesus over myself. I was able to proclaim that I am free. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Why was I able to do that? I knew that the vine is able to provide everything that I need. And after that, I went to bed like a baby. Not crying, but silently. And for the whole night, I had a restful night. And what is the point here? Visible or invisible? He created everything and everything is under his control. Hallelujah. Whether thrones or demons or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Talk about the completeness of the vine that we relate to. So Jesus is the source of all real strength and grace to his disciples. Jesus has the capacity to meet all your needs. You see, the fruitfulness and the growth of any branch on that vine is a factor of the seamless union between the branch and the vine. I'm talking about a seamless union between the branch and the vine. As long as that union is there, the branch does not need to worry about fruit bearing. You see, when you look at a tree, at an orange tree, you see, the orange tree, the branches don't have to groan in order to produce fruit. The branches just have to make sure that they're still connected with the stem of the orange tree. Now, the implication is that there are many other vines out there that purport to produce the real capacity. There are many other vines. And this morning, I want to ask you a question. What other vine have you been depending upon? What other vines have you been depending upon? You see, Jesus was talking to the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. And this Samaritan woman came to fetch some water. And Jesus looked at this woman and says, "Woman, can you give me some water?" And the woman went into a historical lesson to Jesus until Jesus said to her, "Only if you knew the one who was asking you water, you would ask him to give you water. Because the water that he will give you, when you drink it, you will quench no more. But this water from this well, you're going to come back tomorrow." That is a problem of other counterfeit vines. You will drink today, but you'll come back tomorrow without being satisfied. But when you are with Jesus, the true vine, the Bible says, when you drink of this water, out of your belly, life-giving water shall flow. He says, when you drink of the water that I give you, you will thirst no more. And the woman says, I want that. I don't want to come back to this world anymore. And this morning, I want to challenge you to switch allegiances. Connect with the true vine. Connect with Jesus, the one who says, if you drink of me, you will be satisfied. Glory be to God. We need to be aware that there are fake prophets out there. There are fake teachers out there. There are false churches out there. The reality of the matter is that in every true child of God, there is an ability that God gave you to differentiate the truth from the lies. But many times we allow ourselves to be deceived. We just go with the flow. Why? Because it tickles our flesh. But it's just for a moment. You see, after Jesus rightly positioned himself as the true vine, he brings another dimension of this whole ecosystem that Jesus was talking about. He started talking about the Father as a vine dresser. He introduced the concept of the Father being the vine dresser. He says here, "And my Father is the vine dresser." You see, the Father is the sender. The Father is the commissioner. The Father positions Jesus to become the source. You see, when you look at a vineyard, it needs a tenderer. It needs somebody who can look after it. In the absence of the vine dresser, the vineyard gets destroyed. In the absence of the vine dresser, the vineyard becomes infertile. This is the key thing about understanding the Father. The Father sends the Son. The Father looks after the vine. The Father determines how much manure needs to go into the ground. The Father determines how much water the vine needs right now. And I want you to know, you need to rightly relate to the vine dresser, because the vine dresser comes and he knows what needs to happen in your life. You see, it is that office of nurturing, of trimming. I'm talking about the office of the vine dresser. He's the one who feels a deep interest in the growth of the vine. I want you to know that he guards jealously his vineyard. The vine dresser protects the vineyard. You do not need to worry about tomorrow, because the vine dresser is able to preserve and to protect your life. Glory be to God. So we are talking about the true vine. And we are talking about the vine dresser. It's an ecosystem. It's an ecosystem that you need to plug yourself in. And when you are rightly plugged into the ecosystem, you will become fruitful. Many times we are worried about producing, and we forget about the process of production. I'm talking about the fruit as a byproduct of the process. Glory be to God. You see, God is more interested in the promise, in the process, than he is in you producing. God is more interested in relating with you than he wants you to stand here and preach or stand here and sing songs. So we are saying your perception of Jesus determines your levels of intimacy. Your perception of Jesus, the way you look at Jesus. Now I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 16 when Jesus was talking to his disciples. He said to them, "Who do people say I am?" God wants to know what you see him as. What's your perception of Jesus? He asked his disciples, "What do people say I am?" They gave all sorts of things until Simon Peter says, "You are the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." When you have a revelation of Christ as the Son of the living God, you will become fruitful. You will get closer to him. You will know that he is in a class of himself. I want to look at the second dimension of how to build intimacy with Jesus. Number two, submission breeds intimacy. Submission breeds intimacy. When you are submitted to someone, there's a higher chance of you getting closer to them. It is very difficult to relate to somebody who resists your authority. It is very difficult to relate and to get closer to somebody who always questions what you are saying. I'm not saying you should not question authorities, no, but it cannot be a pattern in your relationship where somebody has to question every single decision that you make. I'm talking about submitting yourself to Jesus in order to become intimate with him. Submission breeds intimacy with Jesus. You see, for intimacy to happen, there is a need to submit yourself to the system. There is a need to submit to Jesus. You see, the branch submits to the vine. The vine submits to the vine dresser. When you are like this, you will find that you will become what was meant to come out of that relationship. You see, as long as the branch wants to live on its terms, the relationship becomes dysfunctional. Can you imagine a branch of an orange tree deciding, "I'm going to break off from this stem because you know what? I'm big enough. I'm big enough." I'm talking about submitting ourselves before God in order to get closer to him. You see, Jesus introduces us to a very strange setup of this vine. He says, yeah, there's something funny about this vine because there's some branches that seem to be coming out of the vine, but they don't really belong to the vine. You see, he says here in John 15, verse 2, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And everyone that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bring forth more fruit." What is the makeup of the branches that don't bear fruit? You will agree with me that as long as a branch is part of a stem, that branch will produce fruit. As long as the branch is part of the stem system, it will produce fruit. It's virtually impossible for a branch that is correctly connected to a tree to not produce fruit. It doesn't work. It is impossible. Now, when God says, "That branch which does not bear fruit, I will cut off," he is giving us a picture of a Christian who is professing to be a Christian but not being a Christian. They are not Christian, but they profess. I'm a believer, but they are not believers. There is no evidence in their lives that they are truly united with Jesus. And I want you to know, we find this in our churches. We find this in the body of Christ. People who have a picture and a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I'm talking about people who've got a uniform, a church uniform, but their heart is far away from God. They are not born again. That is the branch that cannot bear fruit. I'm talking about the picture of people like Judas Iscariot. I'm talking about the picture of people like Ananias and Sapphira. That, oh, those are the kind of branches that do not bear fruit. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you a believer? Or you are a professing Christian? When you go into the census of South Africa, you'll find that South Africa is 85% Christian. 85%. Is that the true reflection of Christianity in the country today? When you go to work, it means that 85% of people at your workplace are Christians. But there is a problem. They are professing Christians. Because when you look at their lives, they are not producing fruit that is in line with repentance. If you go to Matthew chapter 3 verse 8, where John the Baptist was saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Let your fruit be in line with your repentance." You cannot tell me that you're a Christian, but you struggle to produce Christ-like results. Jesus says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit. Every Christian that is just professing to be a Christian, it is a matter of time that shakings will happen in our lives, that there will be a separation between the true Christians and the fake Christians. Does somebody hear me this morning? Now, Jesus goes on and says, you know what, forget about the branch that does not bear fruit. You know, we will deal with it. I'm concerned about that branch that bears fruit. You see, when Jesus was talking about the branch that bears fruit, he wasn't talking just about the quantity. He was just saying, as long as there's a little bit of fruit in your life, I can work with that. It means you belong to the vine. Hallelujah. You belong to the vine, and I'm going to do something to ensure that you produce to the maximum. Hallelujah. You see, it is the union formed by believing in Jesus that will move you from being a dead branch to being a living branch, a branch that bears fruit. You see, when you are in Christ, you become united with Him. When you are in Christ, you become one with Him. This is when Paul would utter words like, "It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me." I want to ask you a question. Is it Christ living in you, or it is you living? Paul says, "It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives with me." He goes on to say, "For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain." Hallelujah. It is because of Christ that I'm alive today, because I'm not living for myself. I am living in obsession with Jesus Christ. I'm talking about intimacy. The deeper dimensions of intimacy that we need to step into as a church right now. Forget about fruit. When you are rightly aligned with the vine, you do not need to worry about fruit. Fruit is an eventuality. Fruit will happen. Glory be to God. You see, when you are in Christ, His interests are your interests. Right? When you are in Christ, you have common feelings, common desires, and a common destiny with Him. When Jesus is saying, it is time to reach a community for Him, you rise up and say, count on me, because it's no longer I that lives. It is Christ that lives in me. You see, we talk about the body of Christ. The body of Christ. If the body of Christ is really the body of Christ, where are His eyes? Where are His hands? Where are His feet? That is a question this morning. I wish somebody could hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. You see, when you are one with Christ, when you are part of the vine, you seek the same objects as Him. You are willing to encounter the same trials and the same persecutions as Jesus. I'm talking about people who are connected with the vine. You see, every fruit-bearing Christian will go through a process of upgrading and a process of capacity building. If you are a true branch in the vine, you are in for an upgrade. You are in for a promotion. You are in for capacity building. And how does that happen? It happens through a process called pruning. We want to produce, but we don't want the pruning. I want you to know that without pruning, there is no more fruit. You need pruning for you to be fruitful. You see, I've got some rose bushes at my house, and I was speaking to the gardeners, the guys who do our garden, and I was asking, when are we going to cut these bushes, getting them ready for summer? And he said to me, you know what, let's wait until the beginning of September. You see, there is a season for pruning that God will introduce you to. And those bushes, they don't know what's coming their way. Because when you prune a rose bush, you prune it all the way close to the stem, so that fresh branches can come out. Hallelujah. It is those branches that will produce those beautiful, dark-colored roses that you'll be able to pick up and bring to your kids, to your wife. But the process that gets you to those beautiful flowers is painful. When you look at a rose bush that has been cut and pruned, you feel sorry for it, and you say to the gardener, you're going to destroy my bush. And that's how it feels like when God puts us through a pruning season. But Jesus says, the branches that bear fruit, the vine dresser prunes so that it may bring forth more fruit. The desire of God is for intimacy. And out of intimacy, more fruit will come. Glory be to God. It looks like the dimension of intimacy also includes the pruning process. It doesn't feel like you are being intimate with God when He's pruning you, does it? No, it doesn't. You see, the desire of the vine dresser is to increase your capacity to love people. The desire of the vine dresser is to increase your ability to operate in joy and to be a peace giver, to be long-suffering, to be kind, to be good, to be faithful, to be meek in all that you do. I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit. When you produce that fruit in abundance, it's a picture of the pruning process that you'd have gone through. Glory be to God. Now, God purifies all fruit-bearing branches. God purifies all Christians so that they may be more useful. He takes away that which hinders your fruitfulness right now. He takes away that which hinders your usefulness. Because you can have a tool in your house. The question is that tool useful to you when you need it? If you need a pliers, is that pliers able to do the work that it's supposed to do right now? And this is what God does. He purifies us by taking away the stuff that hinders our usefulness. He teaches us. He quickens you and I. He revives you in order to make you fruitful. You see, He does it by taking away what opposes you, what opposes your usefulness. He removes the objects which bind your affections, because you can be affectionate with things that take you away from God. You see, in the Old Testament, it was easy to talk about idolatry because you could see these statues that are being erected. But today, idolatry is very subversive, very subliminal. It is in underneath. What we call idolatry today is not glaringly open to everybody. You can be in idolatry because of the way you love your wife vis-a-vis the way you love God. You can be in idolatry, committed to idolatry by the way you love your work in comparison to the way you love God. You can commit idolatry by loving your children more than you love Jesus. The Bible talks about, it says, if you are to be my disciples, you've got to leave your mama, leave your father and follow me. Glory be to God. You cannot serve two masters. I'm talking about God taking away those things that are becoming idols in our lives. My question to you is, what is an idol in your life right now? What are you idolizing in this season? You see, I was doing a contemplation around the season we've been through right now, the season of the coronavirus. It is a terrible, terrible thing that has come upon us. But I want you to know that through every season, God is at work. God has used the coronavirus to expose where we are, to expose our faith levels. I was sharing with some guys on Friday, and I said to them, some of us thought we had faith until we lost our jobs. Some of us thought we had faith until we lost 50% of our income. And all of a sudden we realized that no, it was not faith in God, it was faith in my salary. It was faith in my job. It was faith in my business. So this coronavirus is probably part of the pruning process that somebody is going through right now. And God has allowed it to come our way to strip us of those idols. You see, now you can really stand and say, I believe in God, because you have gone through a pruning season. And you'll be able to say, you can take away the cars, you can take away my house, you can take away anything, but don't take Jesus away from me. That is all that I have. Glory be to God. You see, you can lose everything, but if you have Jesus, the true vine, you'll regain everything. Hallelujah. I want somebody to be encouraged this morning. It's about who you are with. It's not so much what you have. When you have the true vine on your side, you'll be able to recover. Hallelujah. Let's look at the third aspect and the last aspect of becoming intimate with Jesus. For you to become intimate with Jesus, you need to be permanent with Him. Permanence breeds intimacy. Permanence breeds intimacy. I'm tired of in and out of the house of God. I'm tired of being one leg in the house of God, one leg in the house of the devil. I'm tired of sitting on the fence. The Bible tells us here, abide in me. You know, when you go to verse 4, abide in me, stay in me, hallelujah, remain in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it remains in me, unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I want you to realize this morning that an on and off type of relationship will never be deep in its level of intimacy. An on and off relationship will never develop to its level of intimacy. Why? Because when you are on, it's okay, but when you are off, trust is broken. You don't know where are they. Imagine you are married, your husband goes off 2 weeks without telling you where they are. Do you think when he walks through the door, you'll be able to be intimate? No, there are questions to be answered. Now Jesus says, abide in me. Stay in me. Be a permanent dweller with Jesus. Do not visit Jesus from time to time. Let Jesus be the man who is in your house all the time. Glory be to God. You see, as long as a branch is connected to the stalk of the tree, the branch will continue receiving life. You see, it is easy to observe that when believers depart partially from Christ, they become poor, they wither, they wilt, and become fruitless. You see, when a storm blows through an area, you'll find that some trees, some branches break off a little bit from the stem, from the main tree. And it takes a couple of seasons for that branch to grow back and to become intact again. Maybe you've been through a storm and you've been injured in the process. Your relationship with Jesus is on the rock, but it is possible for you to be reunited intimately with Jesus. Glory be to God. I believe those who are truly served, those who are born again, those who are born of the Spirit, they might have those partial moments of being shaky, but they remain in Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus says, whoever comes to me, no one will be able to snatch them out of my hands. I'm talking about that relationship with Jesus that we can count on for eternity. Now, I want you to realize that we do not work for our salvation, but we work on our salvation. You see, there is a responsibility that is on me to desire, to want to remain connected with Jesus. When you read in Philippians 2 verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." I want you to know the desire of the enemy is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus comes and says, "I have come that you might have life and life in its fullness." You need to pursue Jesus because there's an adversary wanting to kill you. Peter says, "The devil is roaring around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour." He is looking for somebody to isolate in order to kill, in order to destroy. Would you remain connected with Jesus? You see, union with Christ is a condition of all fruitfulness. There may be plenty of activity and yet barrenness. There are many people who are busy, busy bees in the house of God, and yet in the spirit they still remain barren. Do you know why? They are pursuing their own agenda. They are preaching with ulterior motives, not for the glory of Jesus. They are preaching in order to increase their bank account. There is so much activity, but in the eyes of God, there is barrenness. So it's not about performance, it's about relationship. It's about intimacy with Jesus that will bring forth fruit. You see, when you're a pastor, it is possible to be disconnected with God, but you still perform. You still preach, but there is no relationship. And then all of a sudden, winds come and the pastor falls. You wonder, what happened? The pastor was busy doing activities in the absence of intimacy. You look at a worship leader, they are busy singing and they are doing all sorts of things. And then tomorrow you hear there's a scandal. What happened? Busy with activities in the absence of intimacy. When intimacy is not there, you still are barren in the spirit. It is when you are intimate with Jesus that you wake up in the morning and you ask Jesus and you say, "Lord, what have you purposed for me today?" He commissions you and he empowers you. He gives you the grace to become fruitful. So before we run off with the activities of Jesus, let's know Jesus first. When you and I know Jesus, ministry becomes easy. That is why he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know where that comes from? He's saying, when you are rightly connected with me, there is grace for you. There are some things that I've done and I look and I say, "Lord, I don't know how I was able to go through that." It was because his grace carried me. And I want to say to you this morning, pursue his heart. Pursue the heart of Jesus and fruit will follow. The Bible says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." They will follow you when you are connected with Jesus. You will not have to manipulate miracles when you are with Jesus. When Jesus is with you, he will do what Jesus does. Hallelujah. When Jesus is present in a church, we don't need water. We don't need bangles. We don't need all sorts of gimmicks for miracles to happen. When Jesus is present, he will do what Jesus does. Hallelujah. I'm talking about intimacy that produces fruit. The question to you this morning is, do you take care that you abide in Christ? Are you concerned that you abide in Christ and that Christ abides in you? Psalms 91, "He who abides in the shelter of the Most High." He who stays, not he who visits. When you abide, you qualify to become a son. You qualify to partake of your Father. Hallelujah. I want you to know, in a family setup, when there are two sons, one is always at home. One is always asking the father, "What do you want me to help you with?" One is always helping mama in the kitchen. And the other one is always out boozing. They are still sons, but intimacy levels are different. And as a result, when they are all standing before their father, the father will look at them as sons, but with a difference. I want you to know, there is no favoritism with God. As a man soweth, so shall he reap. I'm talking about rightly positioning yourself with Jesus. When we do that, fruit happens. The branch just needs to remain connected to the vine. All you need is to become intimate with Jesus, and the impossible becomes possible. I don't know where you're at right now. Paul was one man who said, I want to know him, that I might know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, that I might know him. Is the church saying that today, that I might know him? Or the church is saying that we might be more in number, that we might have more money in our bank account? My prayer for God, church, is that we might have that prayer that says, that I might know him, that I might know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering. May the Lord grace us today with this revelation that it's about relationship and not fruit. When the relationship is right, fruit will come out. So I want to pray for you this morning as we come to the end of this teaching, that there will be a revelation today that God is more into you than he is into what you produce. God is more into relationship, so that when you relate with him, you are able to eat of him. You are able to receive of him. Glory be to God. Religion has destroyed us. God wants relationship and not religion. So, Father, we pray this morning. I pray for my brother. I pray for my sister right now that you touch their hearts in a unique way. I pray that they would have a revelation that you are looking for relationship. You are not looking for performance. You are looking for relationship. Lord, we pray for deeper levels of intimacy in our church. We pray for deeper levels of intimacy, Lord. We pray right now that you do what you alone can do. We pray for an awakening in the Spirit right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray right now that you open our eyes of the Spirit. We want to see you high and exalted. Father, we thank you today. May you bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So I want to thank you for being with us this morning, for just spending time this hour or so that we're together. May the Lord bless you. I want you to share this video with your friends, with your family, that God would minister and bless them. Until we meet next time, may the Lord preserve you. May you have a productive week in Jesus' name. Amen.